Got my microphone on. I'm trying to see if I can stretch and put it in my, there we go. All right, let's see how you did on the puzzle. By the way, were these appreciably easier? Yeah, see. Is there anybody that has an answer for every one of them? Your table does, okay. Collectively, you discovered the mind of Christ as a table group. Here we go, A1, what is it? Very good. Get your act together. Number two is a little trickier. Hit the sack. I need to hit the sack, meaning it's an idiom, go to sleep. Number three, you are out of your mind. You are out of your mind. Okay, A4 you struggled with. Condensed book. Oh, man, that's good. Make a long story short. Yeah. Did anybody have a bridge story or something like that? I mean, it's short story. Oh, wow. Liking it. End of the story. Okay. Yeah. There you go. I said bookends. Right. Vice story. All right. Here we go. B1. That's way too easy, isn't it? Yeah, you're right. But you're going to count it as a yes, right? B2. There you go, pulling your leg. B3. Let him off the hook. Let him off the hook. You thought he was going the other way. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes you feel like you want to do that, right? B4. Yep, butterflies in your stomach. As someone once said, it's okay to have butterflies in your stomach as long as they're flying in formation. C1. There you go, your foot in your mouth. Good. C2. Good job. C3's tough. There it is. Drive me up the wall. Some of the other ones were pretty creative. What were some of the other ones you had? Did anybody feel like, I think this is better? Sidecar? Anybody else? Okay. C4. Bite your head off. Good. Or he bit my head off. Or D1. Balancing the books. Balance the books. D2. Very good. You're catching on. Feather in your cap, or in my cap. D3. It's a cute picture, isn't it? I did not draw it. Yeah. Cat's got your tongue. Good. D4. Good. Head in the clouds. E1. Piece of cake. There you go. E2. The ball is in your court. E3. Very good. Beat around the bush. Pretty bad, huh? Yeah. Could you tell that was George W.? Yeah. Yeah. What I did on that, I found a caricature of George Bush, and I found a picture of a bush. You can see how I tried to superimpose it over the top. See, these are challenging to create. They have a whole websites on idioms, and you think, how can I make that? And finally, E4 is cutting corners. Very nice. Anybody get them all right? Okay, did anybody only miss three or less? Whoa, over here? How many did you miss? Raising your kid. That's pretty good. B3. I will count that. Raising your kid. Wow. All right. Good. Okay, we'll do it one more time tomorrow, everybody. So, incidentally, if you want some more of these, either the originals or extras of ones you'll never get to, email me and I'll send them to you digitally. All right. Yeah, you think the emails are bad. You ought to see all the text messages I've got. Just hundreds of text messages. Somebody said the other day, I don't think he was actually receiving those on his phone. You're welcome to come up and look at them. Dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens that came through. Yeah. Right, yeah, I did that, I think, twice. Yeah, and then what happened is that some people have AT&T, you don't have AT&T in the sanctuary until you get back to your cabin, so there I am trying to go to sleep at night, and they're all thinking, these people are texting me at 1 o'clock in the morning. I was like, what are they doing this for? Oh. All right. Okay, well, let's pray, and we are going to begin our study this afternoon. Father, how grateful we are that we can gather together, have fun, interact with one another, learn together. Lord, there is value in being in community to learn and grow and just engage with each other. We're thankful for that. Thank you that I don't have to fly solo, and I shouldn't. Protect us all from withdrawing. Help us to remain, Lord, engaged with others in the body of Christ. And guide us into your word. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. This, I'm going to have to give you the high points because this particular passage is one of the most intriguing passages I've ever seen in the scriptures. I don't know how many of you have ever delved into Daniel 10. This is fascinating stuff. I did a whole sermon series, I think 4 messages on this passage. And as I begin reading through it, you'll have it on your handout. Unfortunately, I omitted verse 10. If you look, you'll see it goes, I kind of jump around a little bit. And I wish I hadn't. I wish I kept verse 10. I'll read it to you because it's a crucial verse. Some of this is going to be tough stuff. It's hard to understand, but I'll try to unlock it as I go. In the 3rd year of Cyrus, king of Persia, underlying king of Persia. Daniel 10, am I in verse 1? Okay, there's another example. Because I did so many of these messages, some of them have it and some of them don't. All right, verse 1 reads, and by the way, you may want to have your Bible or cell phone or whatever out. In the 3rd year of Cyrus, king of Persia, there's reasons I'm going to have you underline that, a revelation was given to Daniel. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. Here we go, verse 2. In those days, watch, it turns to first person. Remember, English teacher in 7th grade, remember? In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for how long? 3 years. Circle the time frame. It's critical. I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. The time frame is repeated. Remember, Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did this diet stuff back in Daniel 1. Here he is doing it again. Guy was disciplined in his fasting. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris. Remember, Daniel and the people of Israel were taken into exile. They are in what it would be modern-day Baghdad. In exile, standing on the Tigris-Euphrates would be the Fertile Crescent, probably where the Garden of Eden was. I'm standing on the Tigris River. Once again, notice how place enters in. One of the features of my teaching and preaching is this whole issue of geography. Location, location, location. See? Place. I lifted up my eyes, watch, and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen, whose loins, means his hips, were girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the noise of a multitude. Then what do I have in parentheses? That is very similar to the vision of John in the Revelation. Had the opportunity of, we followed in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul a few years ago in my second sabbatical, Ephesus, Thessalonica, Athens, Rome, unbelievable, Corinth, and we got to the island of Patmos. And we're sitting in the island of Patmos, and someone began reading from Revelation 1. And then we walked into this cave, and I'm telling you what, and you walk into the cave on the island of Patmos where the Revelation was penned, and I mean, I'm getting goosebumps right now. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable, thinking I'm standing where the Apostle Paul or John wrote Revelation. Pinch me, you know. Now, who would this have been that he saw? Jesus. Now, he's in the form of a man. Once again, we talked about this morning in the session. This is a pre-incarnate Christ. Jesus shows up a number of times in the Old Testament. He will always be in the form of a man or an angel in the form of a man. Can anybody think of another example? Three men came to visit a man by the name of Lot or Abraham. We are going to bring judgment on Sodom. And then Abraham gets into this bargaining. And suddenly, rather than three angels, he's talking to one angel. And he's talking to the Lord. Would you spare Sodom if we could find 50 people? Yes, I will. How about 25? Yes, I will. How about 10? I mean, it's the first example of intercessory prayer in the Bible. He is speaking to the angel of the Lord, and he worships, and you don't worship angels. So it's Jesus he's talking to. Now, weird. Here's another example. Jesus shows up. Watch what happens. Then I heard this, verse 9, the sounds of his words, and when I heard the sounds of his words, I fell on my face in a deep sleep with my, what? Face to the ground, underline that phrase. Now, let me read to you verse 10. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. I wish you could underline hands and knees, because then you're going to see what happens in the next verse. This is where it gets goofy. Somebody else appears, it's a different person. Most commentators believe that this is not the same individual. Verse 11, and he, probably Gabriel, one of the angels, who was a messenger. Where else do you see Gabriel in the scriptures? At the Annunciation of Mary. And God sent the angel Gabriel to Mary in Nazareth. Remember? Gabriel also speaks, I believe, to Joseph in a dream. Here he is in the Old Testament being dispatched from God. We know that, by the way, because he's not mentioned here. Go back earlier in chapter 8 or 9 of Daniel. Gabriel's engaged. So we believe that this is a different individual, and you'll see why. O Daniel, man greatly beloved, give heed to the words that I speak to you and stand upright. Underline that phrase. for now I have been sent to you. If this was Jesus, he wouldn't say that. So we got to conclude that this is a second being that's appearing, and it's an angelic being. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood up trembling. What do you see that I've had you underline? Verse 9, my face was to the ground. Verse 10, I'm on my hands and knees. And finally, verse 11, I'm standing. What's the point? You see this process. When you're persevering in prayer, you see this process. And it is a process. It doesn't happen immediately. Okay? I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, I'm in verse 12, watch, big. This is a big deal. Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your mind to understand and humbled yourself before God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. By the way, when was he dispatched? Day one. Oh, how long had Daniel been praying? Look up at, back in verse 2. 3 weeks. Watch. The prince of the kingdom of Persia, underline the phrase prince of the kingdom, withstood me 21 days. How many weeks is that? Are you tracking with what's going on? Daniel begins praying on day one. Gabriel is dispatched day one, and he can't get there. Why not? Demonic beings are resisting him, and then finally after 21 days, he shows up. Pretty crazy, huh? Watch this. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, who's that? The archangel, by the way, there's only one. Roman Catholics believe there's seven. Raphael, I mean, they all have E-L, the Hebrew word for God, as a suffix. I was studying angelology in theology at Fort Wayne Bible College when our third son was born. And then we named him Andrew Michael. And he's named after the archangel because that's what I was studying at the time he was born. Michael's a stud. He only appears a few times in Scripture, but I tell you, when he shows up, he's not messing around. Well, notice, Gabriel. See the L suffix, okay? But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. So I left him there with the prince of the kingdom of Persia. You and I have no idea what's happening in the spiritual realm. If I could somehow unzip the atmosphere right now and pull it apart, and you could see what is happening in the spiritual realm in this room, you would be scared spitless. You would be flat of your face. It's unbelievable. I remember walking into a hospital in Parkview Hospital in Fort Wayne, Indiana, calling on an elderly man. His name was Ira. And he had a stroke, and I'm standing in the hospital room, and I'm talking to Ira, and he keeps raising his hand, but he can't speak because he had a stroke. And I'm talking, and he was not paying attention. He keeps raising his hand. Well, a couple days later, he gets his speech back. I'm back up to the hospital, and he goes, remember the other day when you visited me that I was raising my hand? Yeah, I remember that. There was an angel perched over your shoulder on the TV monitor in the hospital room. I could see it. Your back was to it. You could not see it. And I kept trying to get your attention and point, and there was an angel perched up there. I mean, there's some of you going right now going, that's crazy. No, it's not crazy. With what's going on in this camp, and we've prayed that the Lord would sweep through, and there are angels posted around this camp, and there's demonic beings that are trying, and there's this conflict, and you see it in Daniel 10. I remember I preached this message, and a young man came up to me, and he's in his 30s, you know. That's young to me. And He said, I tell you what, Pastor Joel, he goes, I was in Decatur, Indiana. I'm a biker. He said, I was biking down the road, and he goes, all of a sudden, he said, I saw this angel. And this is not some kind of spooky dude. Normal guy. He said, I saw this angel. He was big. And he goes, I stopped, and this angel is flying down the road. And he goes, his wings, when they were out, and he goes, he had his arms over his chest like this, looking down, and he's coming down the road, and he said his wings from tip to tip went beyond the road. And he goes, and I was looking at him, and he goes, the inside of his eyes and his mouth was like bronze. And he's flying along, and he goes, I'm standing there. And he goes, suddenly when the angel gets to the intersection on this road where this guy's biking, the angel stops and is surprised. I mean, they're not omniscient. And he goes, what he did is that he immediately turned and went down the other road. And he goes, I got a question. Why was he traveling down those roads? Why didn't he just fly across the fields? Yeah, I'm still trying to process what you're saying to me. I don't know. I guess he's obeying the traffic laws. I don't know. By the way, Billy Graham tells this story. I'm going to read it. Reverend John Patton, pioneer missionary to New Hebrides Islands, told this thrilling story involving the protective care of angels. Hostile natives surrounded his mission headquarters one night. They were going to burn the Pattons out and kill them as missionaries. John Patton and his wife prayed all night during that terror-filled night that God would deliver them. When daylight came, they opened up the door and the attackers had left. They thanked God for delivering them. A year later, the chief of the tribe was converted to Jesus Christ, and Mr. Patton, remembering what had happened, asked the chief, what had kept him and his men from burning down the house and killing them? The chief replied, surprised, well, who were all those men you had with you? The missionary answers, there were no men. It was just my wife and me. And the chief argued and said, we had seen many men standing guard, hundreds of big men in shining garments with drawn swords. And they said, every time from a distance we raised our bows and pulled them back, we were blinded. And we would put the bow back down and look, and we could see you in the house, and we put the bow back up, and we were blinded. They seemed to circle the mission station, and so my warriors were afraid to attack. And only then did Mr. Patton realize that God had sent angels to protect them. And the chief agreed that there was no other explanation. You just have no idea what's going on. Like I said, if you could see what's happening in this room in the spiritual realm, it would be staggering. Anytime somebody sees an angel in Scripture, they don't go, dude. They are flat of their face, terrified. Go back and read the Christmas story. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. The shepherds were terrified. You see an angel, I tell you, it rocks you. See, and that's what's happening here. Verse 14, or I'll go back to 13. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. Notice he's also called a prince. So I left him there with the prince of the kingdom of Persia, and came to make you understand what is to befall your people in the latter days. For the vision is for days yet to come. Notice timing issues again. When he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face towards the ground and was dumb. Couldn't speak. And behold, one in the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and spoke, and I said to him, O my Lord, by reason of the vision pains have come upon me, I retain no strength. Apparently, we're now shifting back from Gabriel to Jesus. So it's kind of a cryptic passage. Can my Lord's servant talk with my Lord? For now, no strength remains in me and no breath is left in me. Again, one having the appearance of a man touched me and strengthened me, and he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be with you, be strong and of good courage. And when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, now I think he's talking to Gabriel, Do you know why I have come to you? But now I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I am through with him, lo, the prince of Greece will come. Probably another demonic spirit. But I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is none who contends by my side against these except Michael, your prince. This is spooky stuff. And like I said, if you've never seen this passage before, it's extremely sobering. I believe it's talking about, in this idea of 3 weeks, perseverance in prayer. Don, let's go ahead and open her up, buddy. We have got to persevere in prayer. It didn't happen after one day. It didn't happen after 1 week. It didn't happen after 2 weeks. He's now into 3 weeks, and boom, finally there's breakthrough. See it? Why do we persevere in prayer? Here's number one. Don, here we go, buddy. Principle number one, as we persevere in prayer, we will neutralize the resistance of Satan in the spiritual realms. A tremendous passage on spiritual warfare. You don't understand this, what you're dealing with, if you're dealing with prodigals, and I'll just use that as a default. What's going on in the heart of your son or daughter or grandchildren or spouse or whatever it is a spiritual issue that's being fought over spiritual territory. It's not something that you're going to talk them out of. You don't bring a squirt gun to a gunfight, see? You are dealing in spiritual power struggles here. This is not something that you're going to persuade them. No way. Paul talks about, for the weapons of that we use are not the weapons of the world. So, arguments, trying to talk them out of something, convincing them, thinking, oh, I'll be able to persuade them. No, you won't. Because it's a spiritual issue, and you cannot rely on the weapons of the world. I think that's one of the things we learn from this. I want you to notice when he talks about the prince of the kingdom of Persia, he is not referring to Cyrus. Go back to verse what? 1. In the third year, Cyrus, king of Persia, if he wanted to speak of King Cyrus, he would have used the term king. That's not the term he uses. He uses the term prince. The power behind the king. Don, next screen. He's not referring to an earthly ruler. Isn't it interesting? Satan is called the prince of demons. There's that word, prince, 4 different times in the Gospels. This is Jesus speaking. Don, next screen, please. Jesus calls him the prince of this world 3 times in John's Gospel. You look at what's happening with the knucklehead down in, what was it, in Virginia, remember who plowed into that during that, Charlottesville? Yeah, you think, what's wrong with people? You know, these people are involved in these shootings in El Paso and Ohio. You think, man, you get to the place where you think, here's another shoot. Well, what do you think that's sourced in? It's the prince of this world. Finally, look at here. Go ahead, Don. Isn't it interesting? Satan is referred to as the prince. So when you see the prince of Persia, and that Michael was contending with him, this is spiritual conflict, a collision of kingdoms. Now, prince of the power of the air, does that ring a bell? How are people getting hooked on pornography? Through the internet. How are people getting involved in affairs? Emotional affairs. Through Facebook. Do you realize how much Satan is controlling the airwaves? Netflix, Facebook, email, some of the music, some of these people that are doing the recruiting. You know, the Russians meddling in the election. Yeah, I mean, you think that this is stuff that's happening electronically. Well, who's in charge of the airwaves? Satan is. See, I don't know if you've ever considered that before, but isn't it interesting? And jot in, let me see if you've got it there. Yeah. Matthew 9:34, but the Pharisee says he casts out demons by the prince of demons. Interesting. There's the Ephesians 2:2 is printed for you there. And I love Ephesians 6, the armor of God passage. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Your prodigal daughter who's shacking up with somebody or making bad decisions, ultimately, Satan and demons are dealing with her. It's not her knucklehead boyfriend or this guy that she's shacking up with. We are not dealing with flesh and blood. Watch. But against, now look at this series, rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, and spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You see that series of fourth issues. Most commentators believe that those are demonic levels. Just like we would have generals, colonels, majors, captains, sergeants. I mean, these are different levels of power. They think that Paul is identifying that there are different levels of demonic beings. That is proven out in Scripture. Demons always want to occupy something because their allegiance to Satan is not like ours to Jesus. Ours is based on love, theirs is based on fear. And so if they can't possess a human, they're willing to possess a house, a dwelling, an animal, a pig. I've told you before when we were in the area, I should have had pictures of this. When they were in the area, you're standing on the east side of the Sea of Galilee in a place called Kersi. Sometimes it's called the area of the Gadarenes. And there are tombs in this area to this day. And we're standing there, and then a lot of the Jews, it's in the Decapolis, a lot of the Jews to this day will not go into that area. It's considered haunted. And that's where the demoniac was. And the cliff's still there. And we're standing, and you can see where the pigs would have jumped off the cliff. And when Jesus confronts this guy comes running to Jesus, falls at his feet, and he goes, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, the Son of God? Have you come to torment us before our time?" Demon speaking. Have you come to torment? And if you go back and look at the passage, I think it's Mark 5, it's difficult to know when this guy's speaking. When is it him and when is it the demons? Have you come to torment us before our time? They knew absolute power and they knew that their eternal destiny. And Jesus says, I'm going to cast you out. Isn't it interesting? The man asked to come with Jesus, and Jesus says, "No, go back to your family." See? The townspeople say, "We don't want anything to do with you." The only prayer that was answered was the prayer of the demons. Figure that one out. And they said, then cast us into those pigs. And so again, if they can't possess a body, they'll settle for an animal body. It's a spooky place to stand. Now, by the way, not all demons are at the same power. Not all demons are as wicked. Remember, he goes, by the way, if I cast out demons, you better start following me. Otherwise, the other demons will come back 10 times worse. Remember? And so there's different levels of power. Jesus, when he casts some demons out, casts them into the air. Some he casts into pigs. Others he casts into the pit. Some are so wicked that they're in the pit in chains because they're just so awful. And so again, and you got angelic beings of different power. Michael, the archangel, I mean, he's the stud. And then you got Gabriel, see, and then you got other angels that you see in the scripture. There's only 3 angels ever mentioned by name in the scripture. Do you know who they are? Michael, Gabriel, Lucifer. Lucifer. He was an angel. There's 3 designations of angels given in the Bible. You've got Michael the archangel, so an archangel is 1 designation. Then what else do you have? Cherubim. A cherub, plural cherubim. And that's what Lucifer was, a cherub. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, if you want to know the fall of Satan. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. I remember that because 14 times 2 is 28. You got archangel, cherubim, Seraphim, and those are only found in Isaiah 6. Had 6 wings. With 2 they covered their face, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew. See. Now, there may be more designations than that. We don't know. But the Bible only identifies 3 groups and also 3 by name. Lucifer was a cherub. He was one of the cherubim. And remember, after Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden, God posted angels with drawn swords to keep them from coming back in. Those were cherubim. Ark of the Covenant, the big box, remember? And the lid over the box was called the mercy seat. On top of the mercy seat, on top of the lid, were 2 angels doing one of these deals, facing each other, and their wings came up like this and almost touched in the presence of God between the wings of the cherubim. Remember the chorus? Those were cherubim. And so it's just an interesting thing. By the way, I'm teaching this at a great risk because I know what's going to happen. And so just pray for all of us that you do this kind of stuff and you unveil the enemy and his work. There's a price to pay for that stuff. Remember when the lady touched the hem of Jesus' garment and Jesus says, I felt power go out of me. I'm kind of at that point in the week too. See, there is a cost to ministry. There's this dissipation of power. And notice how Paul ends this passage when he talks about demonic beings and levels of demons. He goes, verse 18, pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the saints. You see how many times the word all is used? Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me, that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Boy, you tell you what, you see, when you're dealing with demonic beings and Satan's resistance, this is a prayer issue. Remember talking in my office, this has been a number of years ago, and I was talking with this guy, I wanted to come in and talk with him, and I could just tell, dude, something's not right. I mean, I knew, something's not right. And I thought, I mean, he would just look at me and glare, and I just knew, I'm in over my head on this thing. So I call my buddy, he's one of my prayer partners, Gerald Steele. Some of you may know Pastor Gerald Steele, former missionary to Brazil. Gerald said, I'll meet with him tonight. He meets with the guy and he goes, you know what? He goes, I cast 5 demons out of the guy. And he goes, it's interesting, when I cast demons out of this guy, he always asks their names and they'll identify themselves. He goes, they were North American Indian names. And he goes, I've never bumped up against that before. Marcus Warner, that you've heard speak this week, his dad would be involved in spiritual warfare, cast a demon out of a guy and asked its name, and its name was Serpent, and all it would do is hiss at him. Dr. Warner, Marcus's father, was preaching in Africa, and right in the middle of the service in an African village, a woman levitates herself out of her pew, goes across the sanctuary, and comes back down in a different pew. That would break your concentration. I mean, this is real stuff, see? It's real stuff. And I've got to understand what you're up against when you're dealing with stuff with your family. It's at a different level. That's why persevering in prayer is so critical. Starts on day 1. Gabriel doesn't get there until day 21. Because he's being resisted. Man. Number 2. Don, here we go, buddy. Oh, is this, you got it up there. Yeah, you're ahead of me, brother. As we persevere in prayer, watch what happens. We will have a fresh vision of Jesus as well as a renewed perspective. Isn't it interesting when Daniel prays, his immediate circumstance did not change. Rather, what happened was that he got a new perspective that Jesus was in control. When Jesus is praying in the garden, remember he persevered. 3 times he prays this. Circumstance did not change. His perspective changed. So you got to understand, when you're praying and persevering in prayer, you may not see an immediate change in your daughter, in your son, in your situation. That's not the most important issue. The most important issue is that the Lord wants to remind you that He's in charge. We talked about that this morning. Remember? Joshua's standing up there, and here comes this dude up, and who are you? Are you for us or our enemies? And what was the response? Neither. I am the commander of the Lord's host, and I have come. You see, and that's when, boy, he's flat of his face too. See, he needed this shift to be able to understand God's in control. By the way, that's what you and I need. See, what you're hoping for is that your daughter or your son will come back just like that. God's got the timing issue down. What you need is a reminder of how big Jesus is and that He's in charge. That's huge. Otherwise, what's going to happen if you keep banking on, I'm hoping that he or she will change, you're going to be sorely disappointed. Because that may not happen for years. That may not happen for years. So, I mean, if you want to keep just saying, well, I want my son and daughter to come back, and I do too, but you're going to be discouraged for years unless this happens right here, unless you get a fresh vision of Jesus, that he's in charge. He's big enough to handle this thing. See? Now, he's also got a renewed perspective. What do I mean by that? Notice in verse 11, and he, Gabriel, said to me, O Daniel, man, greatly what? You see, what you have failed to understand, and this is where I keep, you know, coughing and sputtering and spitting. I've got to remember that God loves me. Not just beloved, greatly beloved. See, unless, and by the way, this only happened as I persevere in prayer, unless I get a fresh vision of Jesus and recognize that he loves me. If you don't get that, what you're going to do is you're going to default to this thing that God's not fair. He doesn't hear my prayer. Maybe he's not, maybe, you know, is God up in heaven going, you know what? This one stumped me. This deal with your daughter, I don't know. I've never seen something like this before. In fact, I'm not even sure if I can handle it. There's no way. What is it? Jeremiah 32:27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Is anything, Jeremiah 32:27, I think is what it is. Is anything too hard for me? You think that's hard? It's not hard. Notice in verse 14, I have come to make you understand. This is the fresh perspective. Now, let me tell you what you'll understand. It's not that you'll understand the why that your son or daughter or grandson or... You won't understand why he or she is doing this. What you'll understand is that Jesus is big enough to be in control and that he deeply loves me. That's what I need to understand in a greater way. The understanding is an insight into why your kid did or didn't do what where they are today. You'll never understand that. Habakkuk 1:4 says, God says, even if I told you, you wouldn't understand it. What makes you think you're going to be able to understand the ways of God? What I need reminded of in my understanding is God's bigger than this issue. See? And finally, number three, Don, you got her switch, dude? Look at that. You're the man. As we persevere in prayer, we will be given, watch, supernatural love, strength, peace, and courage. Look at verses 18 and 19. He touched me and strengthened me, O man, greatly beloved. It's repeated a second time. Why? Because one of the things that you're going to do is you're going to start questioning if God really loves you. I know I do. Fear not. Peace be with you. Be strong and of good courage. And when he spoke to me, I was strengthened. And notice, do you have verse 21 printed for you? But I will tell you what is inscribed where? The book of truth. See, he connects it with the Bible, with the Word of God. He redirects Daniel back to the Scriptures. And I tell you what, I'm standing up here as a brokenhearted dad, and I need reminded of this stuff. I need reminded of this stuff. Talks about in 2 Corinthians that after you have suffered, turn around and help others that you might comfort them with the same comfort you have received, right? I think one of the key reasons why this has happened in our lives, I have a podium, Judy and I have a podium that we can speak to this issue of prodigals because we're a parent just like you. If I didn't have a prodigal and I stood up here and say, well, I tell you what, if you have a prodigal, I don't, but if you do, here's what you do. You would just dismiss it. But you're looking at a dad that's processing this stuff just like you are in real time. See? Yeah. And so what I'm doing is I'm going through this suffering, and it is. It's hard. And that God gives me comfort and encouragement. I can turn around and pass that on to you. Tomorrow you're going to be greatly encouraged. Could you use any of that? I'll tell you what, I can. I need all that I can take. I mean, I don't need people to discourage me, see? And a lot of people will discourage you, see? But I need encouragement on this stuff, and hopefully you receive some encouragement today. Let me see what time I've got. Oh, we're in good shape. 9 minutes. Okay, questions, comments, raise your hand. Yes, sir. He says, "When," and I'll repeat this, when we're reading the text, twice he goes, do not be afraid. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I've heard before, and I've never verified this, that the term fear not is found 365 times in the scriptures, one for every day of the year. Yeah, and there's two of them in this verse, right? Yeah, fear not. Yeah, usually when angels show up, that's the first words out of their mouth, and for good reason. See, you would be trembling. Like I said, I unzip the atmosphere and pull it back, and an angel appears here, you're not going to go, wow, that's awesome. No, you wouldn't be speaking. You would be made dumb. You're flat of your face, trembling. See, it'd be scary things. Okay, somebody else. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Okay, those are good questions. If is he in charge of the storms? Yeah. Well, part of me would say yes, but not ultimately. For example, now I'm in Mark 4. Mark 5 was the demoniac. Mark 4 was the stilling of the storm. Most commentators believe that the words that are used in that believe that the storm was of satanic origin. Because what does he say to the storm? Remember, he's sleeping in the boat. They wake him up. What does he say? Be still. Same words he uses when he casts out demons. When he casts out demons. Same word. And so, was Satan trying to destroy Jesus in the boat? Probably. Now, God ultimately, Jesus showed the power over nature. But I believe that the enemy can produce some of this stuff. Part of it's because we live in a broken planet. You know, I mean, all these forest fires and stuff like that. Part of it, those are the, and I'm going to do a revelation. Maybe I ought to do that next time I come. End times. And I believe that what we're sensing right now with the climate, tornadoes, earthquakes, volcanoes, I mean, it's just a mess. Every time you look out, you know. I mean, and, you know, Antarctica is now melting. You know, I don't doubt that. What it is the birth pangs with the second coming nearing. Yeah, it's a sign of the times. That's exactly right. It was prophesied these things are going to happen, and Jesus says, when you see these things happening, recognize it's the birth pangs, and they're getting closer, see? And so to me, rather than being discouraging, it's encouraging, the Lord's coming is nearing. See, and you're seeing it being played out politically. I mean, who would have ever thought that Donald Trump would be president? See, I mean, the pollsters got it wrong. See? And regardless of your political stripe, God places people in. I mean, Saul wasn't the greatest leader either, but God put him in there. Putin's a terrible person. But God places these people into positions. See? Because he can use them for his purposes. You look at Cyrus, Hiram, some of these people, they were not believers. Pilate. None of these guys were believers. God used them. See? It's hard to understand. Doesn't make sense to you and me. The other one, do I need to rebuke Satan out loud? Yeah, or pray in silence? The answer is not necessarily. I believe that Satan has some access to your mind, but not unlimited. I'm going to say that again. He can tempt me in my mind without saying anything out loud. Part of it's my own flesh, but part of it's the enemy. So he does have some access to my mind, but not total. Let me give you an example. The Bible says that Satan planted in the heart of Judas. I'm going to think of a color right now. Okay, I got the color in mind. I don't believe Satan knows the color I'm thinking of. The color was maroon. Now, I think he has some access to my mind, but not total and complete access to my mind because he's a finite being. See? He's more powerful than you and I are. And so are the demons. Yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah, he was able to... But God said, this far and no further. What about your servant Job? If I do that, and God said, okay, you can do this, but you can't touch his body. All right. So what's he do? He destroys his house and takes the life of his kids. And see, well, Satan goes, he's still just messing with you. I mean, of course he's going to follow you. Okay, I will let you touch his body, but you can't take his life. Remember, he gets boils and all that jazz. I mean, so God's the one that puts restrictions. But, you know, Satan has got to, he's got to limit himself to what God limits him to. Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay, somebody else. You, sir. Yeah, yeah. When Paul said, I wanted to go to this place, but Satan prevented me or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, we don't understand all that. I mean, there's certain times that, you know, Satan will blockade us. But again, God's more powerful, but God will use that and say, no, I want you over here, Paul. See? Somebody else. Yes, sir. Yeah, the Gaither hymn. Yeah, he touched me and made me whole. Yeah. And I think that may have been based, Bill Gaither, on Daniel 10, the touch of God upon him. There's other places Jesus touched people in the New Testament, made them whole. Yes, ma'am. Oh, over here. I'm sorry, buddy.
What was your, earlier you said something about Isaiah 14, and you said something like 2 times 14?
Yeah, Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, it shows the fall of Lucifer. Ezekiel 28 is the identity of Lucifer. And so if you look those two passages up, you will see. And by the way, the fall of Lucifer happens between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. What's Genesis 1:1? First verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God creates the heavens and the earth. What's verse 2? And the earth was formless and void, and the Spirit of God was brooding over the earth. Why was it formless and void? Most commentators believe because the fall of Satan probably happened after this, but before verse 2. See? And by the way, when Satan fell, Lucifer fell, all the angels, it says in the book of Job, all the angels sang together. There was a time that all the angels were together, but when Lucifer falls, do you know how many angels that he convinces to follow him? One third, found in the book of Revelation. And it says, and the dragon, who was Satan, swept one third of the stars from the sky. Which means there's two thirds are now angels, one third are demons. So there's twice as many good angels as bad angels. Well, how many good angels are there? Well, the book of Revelation says thousands and thousands and 10,000s upon 10,000s. You see, you can't translate kajillion zillion. There is no word like that. Biggest they go in Hebrew and Greek is thousands. So if you want to get a really, really big number, you say thousands upon thousands and 10,000s upon 10,000s because their language doesn't allow for anything like a billion, jillion, killion, you know.
When the demons were cast into the swine went into the ocean.
Right, jumped into the sea.
Okay, so if they drowned
Were the demons destroyed at that point? Probably not. Yeah. We don't know all that stuff. Probably not. Yeah, the demons, when they were cast into the pigs drowned. Yeah, that's a really strange passage. Because that guy loses his livelihood. See? And what's interesting is the town people show up, they're more concerned about the financial issue than they are this man who's now whole and is going to go back to his family. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Don, go ahead, buddy. Wow. Yeah, yeah. This angelic being, right? Yeah. Hebrews 13, it talks about entertaining angels unaware. The number of times that we've bumped into angels, all of us in this room, and we never knew it. We just never knew it. Unless you're biking near Decatur, Indiana, and one's going down the road and thinking, man, I'm not sure. I don't think the first question would be, why was he going down the highway? I'd be trying to hide under my bike. Jeez. Oh, let me see. Yes. That God sings over us. I can't think of any. Zephaniah 3:17, did somebody say? That God sings over us. Yeah. What was it? Zephaniah 3, what? 3:17, I'm looking at. He will rejoice over you with singing. The Lord your God is with you, and he will rejoice over you with singing. There you go. So, yeah, interesting. Well, it's 3:35. I'm going to let you go. You're thinking to yourself, oh, wait a minute. We want to ask more questions. Let me pray, and then we'll let you go. Father, we want to thank you that you are bigger than the issues we face. The issue is which looms larger in our mind, our circumstance or the God we say we serve. Lord, may we see you as bigger. We pray against the enemy on behalf of our children and our grandchildren, our family members, Lord. We pray the blood of Jesus, the power of the cross, the demonstration of power when you were resurrected, Lord, from the grave. You ascended to the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, where you're seated in ultimate power. We come against Satan, and we pray that your spirit will have freedom to move, to work, to convict, to woo, and yes, Lord, to encourage our hearts. Protect us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Prodigals tomorrow, my friends. Get here early.